Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing, and the clock is ticking on a temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The current pause ends tonight. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren has called for that pause in fighting to continue. We spoke with her on the phone just after 10 o'clock this morning.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Senator, you have been on my mind a great deal over the last couple of weeks, and there are a lot of questions in the moment we're in. I'd like to start with a few of them, and I'm going to set this up a little bit for our listeners who may not know. You have faced repeated calls from former staffers in a letter, activist groups such as progressive Jewish organizations that have protested outside your home, at your offices, even a Palestinian-American constituent who confronted you in a Cambridge restaurant, all asking you to call for a ceasefire and use your influence to help create pressure for one. You've recently said, quote, "I strongly support this temporary ceasefire," end quote. You've also said, quote, "The Israeli government should not resume bombing in Gaza, which would be a grave and strategic moral mistake," end quote. I want to understand what you've said, and is it different than calling for a ceasefire? Is this about duration, you know, long-term or permanent versus temporary? Is it about bombing specifically? Is it about military operations? Help me understand the distinctions here, Senator.
Since the terrorist attack on October 7th, I've pushed for two ideas. The first is that Israel has a right to defend itself and also an obligation to protect civilian life. I started calling for a cessation in the bombing because of what it meant in terms of the number of innocent people, people who are Palestinians, who are trying to get on with their lives, who are being killed. I also have pushed for the release of hostages because I think that's critically important, and trying to get more aid into Gaza, more humanitarian relief. What's happened in the last few days is there is a negotiated ceasefire that's actually accomplished all three of those objectives. Obviously, the bombing has stopped. There is a ramp up in the humanitarian relief that's going in, and we've all seen that the hostages are, more of the hostages are making it home. I believe we ought to try to build on that. Ultimately, what we're aiming toward is a political solution here. Two states for two peoples. And that means that we've got to start laying the foundation. We, others in the region, and obviously the Palestinians and the Israelis, to start laying the foundation for that two-state solution and build on this moment to try to do that. So that's what I'm working on. That's what I'm pushing for here in Washington. That's what I'm working on with any one I talk with over in the area.
Let me first clarify for listeners, the pause that ends tonight, unless it's extended, just for listeners, was negotiated to allow for the release of hostages and prisoners and to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. It started last Friday. It's been extended once. You've just said you support Israel's right to defend itself as well as the protection of civilians. I know this is a complex situation. You've also said, you know, Israel shouldn't resume the bombing. So I am assuming that the people who have protested and asked you to call for a ceasefire are asking for a permanent ceasefire. And I am assuming that you are not saying you are calling for a permanent ceasefire. Are both of those assumptions correct, Senator?
You know, you'd have to ask other people what they mean.
So let's just do the part to you.
And their demands. But I want to be clear. We have to have a goal in mind. And for me, the goal is peace. And peace is, for me, a two-state solution. It means that all the parties are working in the same direction. It means that Palestinians and Israelis can live in security, they can build their own futures, they can build a future for their children and their grandchildren. It's clear right now that we're not headed in that direction, or have not been. Prime Minister Netanyahu and his right-wing war cabinet are not pushing toward a two-state solution. They're going in a very different direction. And I think the way that Netanyahu has prosecuted this war has been a disaster. And I think it's not only been a disaster for Palestinians, I think ultimately it is a disaster for Israelis.
Why?
Israel needs a leader who will work for peace and a two-state solution. And Netanyahu has made clear that he is not that leader.
So two questions to follow that.
Go ahead.
So the first, and I am seeking understanding, not seeking to box you in a corner. Are there circumstances under which Israel resumes its military campaign? And understanding that the Biden administration is increasingly warning Israel not to resume it with the same breadth and scope as before this temporary pause, that you think it would be appropriate for Israel to do that?
As I said right from the beginning, Israel has a right to defend itself, but it also has an obligation to avoid civilian harm, to protect civilian life. Bombing, as it's been carried out, trying to bomb in an area that is densely settled, in settlement camps, in apartment buildings, on sidewalks, on roads, that puts civilian death front and center. And that has to stop. It's why I called for a halt to the bombing, and why I've said the bombing should not resume. That does not mean that Israel has no tools available to defend itself. It does not mean that Israel cannot pursue Hamas. But it does mean that Israel has to have, in all of its actions, a concern for civilian life. That is necessary under international law, and it is a part of domestic law here in the United States, and part of our values. And I think ultimately it's what serves moving us toward a peaceful solution. That is a solution that's a two-state solution where people can live next to each other in security and with autonomy and self-determination over their own futures.
Senator, you brought up Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a minute ago. You were quite critical of him. I'm thinking about the time when you were running for president. You might have been face-to-face with him then. If you were face-to-face with him now, what would you say to him?
I would say to him what he's doing is wrong, that he has not prosecuted this war against Hamas in a way that is helping either Israel or the Palestinians, and that he needs to change what he's doing. He needs to change it in Gaza. He also needs to change in the West Bank, where there are settlers who are killing Palestinians, and that needs to stop as well. Israel bears a responsibility. It has a right to protect itself. It has a right to defend itself, but it also bears a responsibility to protect civilians. Palestinians are not Hamas, and that distinction is critically important. And Israel has to, in its efforts to root out Hamas, it has got to protect civilian life. And that's why I called them for them to stop the bombing, because it was not doing that. And I am already calling for them not to resume bombing, because bombing is the way in which civilians have been put most at risk.
Senator, is there anything that you think President Biden needs to do differently?
The president, I know, is working hard. I speak with members of the administration multiple times a day to press Israel to take better care with civilian life, to press Israel toward a negotiated peace, to press Israel to get the release of hostages. You know, I actually want to stop right here and commend President Biden. This circumstance we're in now, where the bombing has stopped, where hostilities have stopped, where humanitarian aid is being ramped up, where hostages are being returned. President Biden and his administration was right at the heart of negotiating this and making sure that the parties got there and then followed through on their promises. And that's why I'm so urgently pushing that we take advantage of this moment and try to build down a little better foundation so the parties can start working together and can start moving toward a peaceful solution over the long run.
So I want to come back home. President Biden wants aid for Israel and Ukraine. He wants them together. Mm-hmm. Senator Schumer has said the Senate could take up the aid package as early as next week, but he said the Senate's not going to take up the Israel aid package that's passed by the House under new Speaker Michael Johnson. That authorizes only aid for Israel, but also requires cuts to the IRS. I don't want to do the IRS part now, although I imagine you have very strong thoughts on that.
I bet.
Schumer's not going to take that up. But sooner or later, something's going to have to come forward that the House and the Senate agree on. So Understanding that ultimately there's going to be a compromise, what do you have to have and what are you willing to have in an aid package for Israel that you would vote for?
So we are putting together a package that's about emergency aid where it's needed around the world. So it's about aid for Israel. It's about aid for Ukraine. It's about aid over in the China Sea. It's also about making sure that there's humanitarian relief.
But the House isn't
going to
do that, Senator, right? The House isn't going to do it all in one, is it?
Well, certainly our view in the Senate, and we are certainly talking with those in the House, is that it needs to be a combined aid package. And it's one of those for which there are people who strongly support different parts of the aid package. So frankly, I think we've got a better chance to get a combined bill through than we do to get a bill that just has aid for one country or in one narrow slice. So we're working right now on a combined bill. And I actually want to tell you one other small part, because I think it's important to bring this home. I've been pushing, along with others, to get into that aid package also help here in the United States so that mosques and synagogues will have extra resources for their own security. This is a time where people here at home are worried, a time where people feel isolated, they feel afraid, many feel unseen and silenced. They worry about their security if they go to worship or if they have children in schools that are religiously affiliated. And so part of the package is to recognize the risks around the world and where we need to be more helpful, but it's also to bring some of that aid right here domestically.
Any conditions
so that
for
there is security at home.
Any conditions for Israel?
We have always had conditions on any of our assistance. We've regularly conditioned military aid on compliance with U.S. law and international humanitarian aid. Right now, senators are asking a lot of tough questions about Israel's military campaign. And this takes us back to what Netanyahu is doing. His military strategy has resulted in a humanitarian catastrophe and the deaths of thousands of civilians in Gaza, and has endangered the region's long-term stability. That is the reason that I keep calling for the Israeli government to stop the bombing in Gaza. And I'm pressing for strong humanitarian relief in Gaza.
Senator, but we're going to lose time with you soon. And before you go, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
You have been in the middle of a firestorm on this, and it has looked incredibly difficult. And this is a painful subject for globally. How are you? How has this been for you?
It's very kind of you to ask. I'm fine. What I worry most, though, about are the people I talk with, mostly around Massachusetts. I worry about mothers who are worried about their kids. I talk to people who have family in Israel. I talk to people who have family in Gaza. I talk to people who have lost people they love, people they went to school with, people they went to camp with, people they spent summers with. And these conversations start out over and over with how isolated people feel, how they feel that they're not heard. And that is so fundamentally wrong and so hard on people. I want people to be able to say what they believe, to work through how they feel about what's happening. Yeah, it's hard what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Israel, what's happening throughout the region. But here in the United States, here in Massachusetts, people should be able to speak their minds and to be able to speak their hearts. And when I hear people who are hurting so much, I take that on, and it makes me realize we must do better. We must do better here at home, and we must do better in pressing for a lasting peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. That's what I commit myself to every day.
We spoke with Senator Elizabeth Warren this morning. This is Radio Boston.